This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hello and welcome to Unequal Sequel
Extra.
I was literally about to do your extra bit for you. And that would have been the first time ever that I'd be like, oh, there's a person that normally does that for me. And that's
you
your
did
job.
Do it once when we swapped.
I've done it. We've swapped a couple of times. I think there's maybe three or four I can think of.
We definitely swapped for... Was it Aquaman or Chicken Run?
Chicken
Run. One of
Run
the ones
when
you
I was
were in Canada.
Canada.
Yeah, we swapped. But that's
we've
it.
Also
I think.
We've also swapped. I think when I saw No Deal to Die. No Diet to Die. You know that one? That
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Because you didn't see
it. Oh, did you do the extra then, though?
Yeah, I think we swapped over because I was trying to be the Mark mode. And also the Grindel, the last Fantastic Beast one as well, you didn't see and I saw.
Oh, okay.
So
I can't remember if we swapped the extras.
Well, to be fair, Rich, we are now about 140 into these extra episodes. And
which isn't bad considering we didn't ever plan to do any.
And we haven't missed one. And we review films all the time. And then we always forget what we said about those sequels when we,
we do.
Come back to them. So not an excellent thing.
What I would say is we don't forget... But we grow as people, and so therefore our opinions change.
Or grow as critics, maybe.
Well, yeah, both. I think you've got to grow as a critic to also grow as a person, right?
Grow as a person and a critic, yes. You're quite right, and I feel that puts us in good stead for today's topic. We're going to get... Dim the lights, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get serious. I don't know why you have to dim the lights to get serious.
I don't know, but it feels right.
I was like, does it feel sexy?
Not sexy, but right.
Right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Unequal Sequel. We're the podcast that talks about sequels. This is the Friday Extra Edition. And today's episode, we found something to talk about because another week, no sequels released and no anniversaries of sequels.
No, literally nothing. Like February is so barren.
It's
I don't know if you can hear, but there is a tumbleweed, just a sequely tumbleweed, just... rolling around behind me right now.
But you know what is going on at the moment?
What's that then?
Award season.
Oh, yeah. But then sequels don't win awards, do they? Quite famously don't win awards.
They don't. So what are we doing today, Rich?
What we're doing today is, and this may be slightly shoehorned, we are picking our movies, our sequels, that we think should have got an Oscar nomination but didn't for Best Picture.
Now, try and put that in a really clever title of an episode that I can fill in. Sequels that should have been nominated for Oscars.
For Best Picture.
For Best Picture. Oh, yeah. Oh, Christ. That's never going to work.
Best, yeah. Fantasy Best Pictures noms. I don't know.
Maybe.
Anyway.
Just to give a bit of magic behind the curtain of what me and Rich do, we just had a 20-minute argument about what films we should be talking about.
We did, yeah, yeah. Which we should have recorded because it's probably going to be better than the podcast.
Basically, Rich disagrees with all my choices. So,
not all your choices.
And I respect your opinion and your choices and why you think my choices were not choices.
We said we were going to do five. And you picked 12, and we whittled those 12 down to 5. We couldn't have all of them.
You kept mentioning new ones, and I was like, oh, I'll have that one as well. So if anything, you made it worse for more films True. That I love.
You wouldn't let me have Karate Kid Part 2, so, you know.
What year was that? We can throw it in the mix at the end and see what won that year.
I don't know, but I'll find out what year.
So the thing about sequels that are very famously... only 9 have ever been nominated for Best Picture. So the sequels that have been nominated in the past are The Bells of St. Mary's from 1945, which is the sequel to the 1944 winner Going My Way. Never heard of them, so they might be ones to hunt out. Also nominated and won. This one was The Godfather Part 2. Obviously, that's a great film. We can see why that one was nominated and won. Also nominated was The Godfather Part 3.
Why?
I don't know how that happened.
No.
I might have to check out 1990 and see why. Also nominated, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, which should have won that year in 2002. Might have a look why that won in that. Also nominated and won was Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, obviously, because it's brilliant. Nominated, Toy Story 3, Mad Max Fury Road, Avatar, The Way of the Water. Not The Way. Yeah, it is The Way of the Water. Way of Water.
Mm.
It's not a Bruce Lee film, Dave. And also, most recently, Top Gun, Maverick.
Maverick.
So 2022 was a good year for sequels.
So we're not picking any that have been nominated?
Nothing that's been nominated.
So we're picking sequels that have never that weren't nominated for Best Picture. They might have been nominated in other categories, but Best Picture.
Best Picture, yes.
So they may have had Best Director. They may have had... Best Actor, Best Screenplay, Best whatever, but not Best Picture.
So we're going to name the film and then we're going to look at the films that were nominated that year and then try and say which one it would replace. We're not saying they should have won, but they should have definitely been in the conversation.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So what do you want to do first, Rich? Should we work?
I think we should go in chronological order. Do you reckon? So
latest to earliest.
Yes.
Okay. So the latest... is Empire Strikes Back from 1981.
Absolutely. So we know why Empire wasn't nominated, right? Because the Academy hates sci-fi.
Yes.
Hates sci-fi, hates comedy, just doesn't happen. And I think maybe Empire wasn't touted because they knew that it wasn't touted as an Oscar-worthy movie potentially.
Yeah.
If you look at the nominations, there were some big movies in there.
What are the nominations then? What were the nominations?
So the nominations in 1981, which Empire would have been eligible for. It was nominated for Best Score, I think.
I think it might have even won.
It didn't win. It definitely didn't win. It hasn't won any. But it was nominated. John Williams was nominated for Best Score, I think. Okay, so nominations 1981 for Best Picture were Tess. I don't know it. I'm sorry. It's not a movie I'm aware of.
Nope.
The Coal Miner's Daughter.
Nope. I don't know it.
No, me neither. Raging Bull.
I know Raging Bull. Raging Bull's very good.
One of my favourite movies.
You didn't knock me down. You didn't knock me down.
Can't believe it didn't win, to be honest.
Yeah, that could be the one.
Then The Elephant Man. Again, it's a great movie. It's a great movie. It deserves to be in there. And the winner of the Best Picture Oscar was Ordinary People. Again, one I don't know.
Ordinary People.
Yeah.
From 1980. Starring Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
Directed by Robert Redford, Mary Tyler Moore, Judd Hirsch. I've never heard of it.
No, me neither.
The accidental death of the older son of an affluent family deeply strains the relationships among the bitter mother, the good-natured father, and the guilt-ridden son.
Mm.
Now, that sounds like an Oscar baity film
compared
to, lasers and and talking bears lasers. And stuff like that.
We're going to have the Star Wars fans on our backs. Lasers.
I'm trying to sound like an Oscar voter. And I like to think that the further we go on this conversation, the later the years on. Films like Empire Strikes Back will got more accepted. You would hope. And more audience-friendly films would become more involved. But what happens with Oscars, especially the Oscars, is that there's always this air of, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say posh.
Snobbiness.
Snobbiness could be the words, couldn't it? Is that the right... Like, you know when you're watching an Oscar-baited film, and Empire Strikes Back is... What a film that is. What a sequel that is. But at that point, were they... And this is what I tried to argue, ladies and gentlemen, that we should put Return of the Jedi in this conversation. And Rich flagged that down pretty quickly.
Well, look, I know Return of the Jedi is your favourite.
It's my favourite, yes.
I don't think it's the best of the three.
No,
and
you're
I think
right.
Most people agree with me.
Yes, they
But
do.
I know it is your favourite. And I don't want to take that away from you. And also, like you say, there is the Lord of the Rings argument that they waited till the trilogy was finished and then the last one got all the plaudits. But Two Towers was nominated.
It was. That is true. And so was Fellowship. So they were all got nominated.
Mm.
Do you just think it was too out there for the voters in 1981?
Sci-fi just doesn't get nominated. That's the thing, isn't it? Like, even 2001: A Space Odyssey, I don't think was nominated.
I don't think so.
I think because I'm sure I remember reading an article where it said Everything Everywhere All at Once was the first sci-fi movie to be nominated.
That's like 2022. That can't be true. There
or
must
first
be
sci-fi
other...
movie to win major Oscars, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, which one would you take out of that lot then? I know we haven't seen...
We haven't seen
three
them all,
of them.
But yeah, I mean... Yeah.
Out of the winners, I'd probably put Raging Bull was Best Picture in 1981.
Me too, but then, you know...
Well, I haven't seen Ordinary People. So let's just say we'll get rid of Tess.
Yeah, okay, fine. We'll get rid of Tess.
I'm just going to look what Tess is. Oh,
she was a poor man's daughter, an aristocrat's mistress, and a gentleman's wife.
A strong-willed young peasant girl attracts the affection of two men.
Let's not take that out, because that sounds like it might be a good, like, feminist kind of movie.
She was born into a world they called it seduction, not rape. What she did would shatter their world forever.
Oh, we'll take out the coal miner's daughter, because seen this movie. I've just remembered. We can take that out. It's about a country singer. I've just realised it now. It's got Sissy Spacek in it and Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah. But it's... I wouldn't have said it was an Oscar nomination.
The fictionalized life of singer Loretta Lynn, a girl who rose from humble beginnings to become a country music star in the 1960s to 70s. Yes.
And it's fine.
Okay, good. We found one. Phew.
I have seen that.
I mean, Tess sounds an absolute horrid film to try and watch, to be honest.
So on that one, we're taking out Coal Miner's Daughter and we're putting in Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
For a nomination, not necessarily say it's going to win, but it's in the noms. It's in the mix.
It is the noms. The next year we're going to is 2009. So quite the jump.
2009. Big jump. Big jump. So no 90 sequels are worthy, which I think is probably fair.
Well, again, arguments. The win. So
strong,
we think.
Strong year in 2009.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, so the film we think should go in 2009 is quite an obvious one.
Mm.
And it is The Dark Knight.
It is The Dark Knight. I mean, come on.
What
How
films we got?
So the nominations in 2009, pretty strong. We've got The Reader.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that is the Kate Winslet one?
Yeah.
Is that The Reader?
Yeah, the Anthony Minghella one.
Yeah, it's fine.
Fine. We've got Milk, which is
the Sean Penn film.
Sean Penn film. Again, I think it's a good movie. It's definitely an Oscar-y movie.
Yeah.
Then we've got Frost Nixon.
Which has two good performances in it.
Two very good performances in it. But
it's a very Ron Howard film.
I love it. Of course I love it.
Of course you do. It's two people in a room talking.
Yeah, of course.
Like 2 hours.
And I really love David Frost. He reminds me of my gramp. So I really love that movie. But again... I think it's a very safe movie to have as an Oscar nom.
Yeah.
Then you've got The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Okay.
Interesting.
I mean, it's a good film, but it's not one I think...
Oh, yeah. Oh,
no. Oscar noms are weird. Okay. And what won it?
Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't... I mean, they're all good films.
They're all good films. But Dark Knight... I genuinely think if Dark Knight should have not only been in the nominations, it should have been in there to win.
I think it should have been the winner, Rich.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, they're all fine films. I like. I saw Slumdog Millionaire. I watched all these films actually this year in 2009, which is weird for me because I don't normally get around to watching all of these kind of films.
No.
And I remember really liking Slumdog Millionaire. I really loved the music. I thought Dev Patel was really good. I thought it was a really good Danny Boyle film.
Yeah.
And it had me gripped for most of it. But The Dark Knight is just...
It's so much...
It's special.
It is special. But then, is it special because of Heath Ledger's performance?
Which did get...
He did win for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
Is it because of his performance that it's a special movie? Or is it special enough in its own right to win Best Picture? Or to be nominated? We're talking about nominating, aren't we?
I definitely think it's good enough to be nominated. I think looking at a film like that is the craft, like the way it's shot, the music, which
is
Hans Zimmer's score, which also is that the Joker, you know, the sound that comes in.
Yeah. The new technology they used as well.
Exactly. Like, it should have been applauded for just that as
well.
It
should have been
recognized, IMAX. It was taking the next step in filmmaking. And I think Christopher Nolan must have been nominated as well, supporting actor, animated film, art direction, cinematography.
I don't know if he was, you know.
He was not even nominated.
No, I don't think he was.
This was just before. So the year after this, they opened it up more and they could have had more nominations. So at the moment, there's only five, right? Or six?
Five. Yeah.
So I think it goes up to 7 or 9. I can't remember. We'll find out.
It would definitely have been in there then, wouldn't it?
So I think it definitely was. And I think there was a bit of an outcry after this saying audiences are changing a bit as well. And if you want the Oscars and the awards to kind of be more relevant, then they're going to have to start looking at these kind of films, like the superhero films as well. These audience-friendly films, maybe is a good way of putting it. Because you look at those kind of films, and you look at the films in 1981, they're not going to be everyone's cup of tea. You're not going to want to sit down and watch The Curious Case of Benjamin Button multiple times, are you? It's not. But I can sit and watch The Dark Knight, I reckon, every 6 months, and it'd still be brilliant.
Yeah, true. So what would we take out?
I'd take out the reader, I think.
That would be my choice as well, I think.
Sean Penn is very good in Milk.
Yeah.
And I think the reader, Kate Winslet's very good in it, and Ralph Fiennes is in it as well.
Ralph Fiennes is in it.
There's nothing else memorable about it.
It's a true story, isn't it? It's autobiographical.
It's a true story, so it ticks that box
It's got Nazis in it, and people like the Nazis.
They love the Nazis. I mean,
people like movies about Nazis. Let me rephrase that. People don't like the Nazis. I mean, some people do. Oh, God, I'm stopping now. But there's inappropriate age relationship, you know, like teenage boy, older woman kind of thing. I don't know. I personally, that's the one that stood out to me that could...
It's the one that agreed. So we
probably come out.
To take out of... What year are we now? 2009.
2009. And also, it was only released in like January 2009.
It
seems like it was proper Oscar bait. You know?
Yes, Oscar films are always pretty much, if you want them, is released between December and end of February. That is the hot ticket months. If you get them there, you're good. If you get before that, you get forgotten, it seems, like early in the year, April.
Yes. So what I'm trying to say is, it's also a Weinstein movie, so that can also help it get in the bin.
Yeah. Right. Okay, agreed.
Good. Okay, so the reader's gone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, what's next?
Next, we've got two films from the same year, apparently.
Okay.
Which is Paddington 2. Let's do that one first.
Yeah.
Paddington 2.
Yeah. And what year is it?
2018, I think.
Okay, so this is when we expanded it, and it's not 2018.
And but also oh, the same year, yeah. We've also got another sequel that year we want to put in,
yeah,
which is okay. Also Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, we didn't plan that very well, did we?
We might pick another one in a second just to...
Okay, all right. This is an interesting one because there's some decent movies in here.
So this is when they expanded and put more nominations to try and give everyone yeah. more of a go.
So
and looking at it, it does feel like that. Yes. Yeah,
9 nominations in 2018. Still none of them sequels. So we've got Denis Villeneuve's Blade Runner 2049 that we want to put in, and also quite possibly the best sequel ever made. Paddington 2. The nominations in 2018 are very strong. So we've got, well,
I think there's some
weak ones in there. Yeah, maybe one, two. Okay, so we have The Shape of Water, Guillermo del Toro's Shape of Water.
Yeah.
We have got Phantom Thread, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Great film.
We've got The Post. The Steven Spielberg movie, The Post, which I like.
I knew this is going to come talky-talky, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We've got Darkest Hour.
That's the Churchill film, right?
The Churchill film, yeah.
Gary Oldman won for, and he was caked yeah. in prosthetics.
Yes, they love an actor in prosthetics, don't they?
They do, yeah.
We've got Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which won, I think, right?
I think the winner was The Shape of Water.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm. That's what it's telling me on the Oscar site.
Oh, okay. I thought Three Billboards won. Call Me By Your Name, which is...
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, another well-liked movie. We've got Dunkirk, Christopher Nolan. Dunkirk.
Great film.
Jordan Peele's Get Out.
Great film. That is a film.
I mean, that should have won, right?
This is where this is getting good now, Best Pictures, and getting more nominations in the list.
Yeah.
Because any other year, that would be, I reckon, cut out. And you can see that the voters are getting a little bit more experimental by this point because that wouldn't have been picked in the early 90s.
No, definitely not. And we've also got Lady Bird, the Scott Rudin, Saoirse Ronan kind of age
movie. Well,
that
was directed by a woman, so it definitely would have got voted in the early 90s or the whatever. So
yeah, true.
So, and we've got to take out two of those films to get two in.
So, one... After the whole Barbie controversy, I'm not taking out a Greta Gerwig movie, so Lady Bird's safe.
Lady Bird is a great film as well. I've got no problem keeping that in.
Get Out is also safe because
Get Out is also safe.
It's incredible.
Safe. Yep.
Shape of Water, I don't know.
Which one? Okay.
I can't take it out. I think it's got to stay. Although I don't know. Sally Hawkins' performance is incredible. Is it Best Picture?
It's a great film because it's a weird film as well, isn't it? Like a love story between a woman and a fish man.
Yeah.
And it's fantasy and it's really good Del Toro film.
It is. All right. You've won me over. It's got to stay.
Okay. Well, I don't know where this is going. Well, keep going.
Three Billboards has got to stay.
Okay. Great written film.
Yeah.
It is. Smartly written film.
Dunkirk.
Dunkirk's got to stay.
Yeah.
It's great.
I agree.
That's an amazing piece of film, Dunkirk.
So now we're down to Darkest Hour.
I would get rid of Darkest Hour. That would be the first
one. We've got
to
get rid of two, remember?
I would get rid of Darkest Hour.
Darkest Hour and replace it with Paddington 2.
Paddington 2. Both. Darkest Hour is
because then at least we've got
fine.
One. We've got a movie in there that's about a true British hero.
True, haven't we?
Okay. So then we're down to three left. We've got Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
I think has to stay.
It's an important film, but
it's an important film for LGBTQ rights. It's got to stay in. It's not coming out. It's got to stay in there. So then
I'll never look at a, like, is it a peach again? And
oh, fucking hell, no, me neither. But,
But Timothée Chalamet is fantastic in that film.
Yeah, and he's in Lady Bird as well, so he's got two nods.
Yeah.
Great year. So then we're down to Phantom Thread and The
Post.
You
can't take out Phantom Thread. It was one of my favourite of the year.
Really? Like
Daniel Day-Lewis was so good in this film.
See, that would be the one I would take out.
His zingers. See, I liked The Post, but I would take The Post out for Blade Runner.
I think that's probably fair. You know, I think you're probably right.
And don't get me wrong, because I love Spielberg. He's my favourite ever director. But sometimes Spielberg gets nominated because it's Spielberg. Scorsese sometimes gets the same kind of treatment, to be honest.
I think I like The Post. Don't get me wrong. The Post is my kind of film.
It's a very good film.
I can also see why it's an Oscar, an Oscar nominated film.
It's
Tom
Hanks. It's Meryl Streep. Come on.
But you're right. If I was gonna choose between Blade Runner 2049 and The Post, as an Oscar nomination for a beautifully crafted, wonderful movie,
come on, Rich,
it's going to Blade Runner, isn't it?
It is. Roger Deakins did win Best Cinematography for Blade Runner 2049, but it is such a gorgeous looking film. But it is such a wonderful film in so many ways. I know it's better than Blade Runner. For Rich, it's not. I totally understand that. And we've been there many times with many different people.
But also, subjectively, it might be better than Blade Runner, but I can't not have seen Blade Runner when I saw it, you know?
Yes. No, you can't change that.
I can't get how important Blade Runner was to me as a kid growing up.
I would put Blade Runner 2049 above a lot of these films in this list. I wouldn't take Shape of Water out of this list, but I would put Blade Runner 2049.
I can't believe Shape of Water won against Three Billboards, which I think is a stunning movie.
But Billboards is so good, it's because that script is so good.
It is incredible.
I mean, Rockwell,
but it's not
Woody Harrelson.
That. Yeah, and Francis McDormand and Sam Rockwell are just so good in it.
I know
they
a lot of people get
so
angry about
good.
The Rockwell character and his tones, but he's playing a man that was written on the script by, is it Neil McDowell? Is one of the McDowell brothers, Martin McDowell, which sounds like I'm saying a character from Back to the Future.
Yeah, it does a little bit. Martin. I think it's Martin McDonagh, isn't it?
Oh, there we go. Where did I get McDowell?
I don't know, but I was getting confused.
Malcolm McDowell. I was confused.
Oh, Malcolm McDowell. So Martin McDonagh is the director and the writer-director, yeah.
And his brother is the one that does...
don't think his brother's in... involved.
He's the brother who does Calvary and...
Potentially. So Martin McDonagh wrote In Bruges, and he wrote Banshees of Inisherin.
All great films. He's
definitely a
very talented writer.
Absolutely. And also he directed In Bruges and directed Seven Psychopaths and Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah,
you know,
great.
So he's a very strong filmmaker. I Three Billboards is one of my favourite movies. I think it's incredible.
Oh, wow. Okay. Phantom Thread. You know, Paul Thomas Anderson is a director that done Boogie Nights, The Master, Magnolia, Drunk Punch Love, all those great
Punch
films.
Punch Drunk Love is great, isn't
great
it?
Great films. But I haven't enjoyed his last few, Inherent Vice, I didn't like. I didn't really like, what was his last one? Licorice Pizza, I really struggled with.
No, I struggled with that too, yeah. I agree.
But Phantom Thread, Daniel Day-Lewis, last film, he retired.
I didn't love Phantom Thread.
Oh, it's so beautiful. And his insults, it's so beautifully played.
I just found it so
And Leslie Mandeville's in there, and she's so good, and Victoria Cripps. I was taken away by that film. I thought it was a superb, and the costumes are so good in that film.
Yeah, like I get it. Like, and I totally get why it's in there as a nomination. I just find it too horrible, bitter,
I love
and
the,
mean,
the insults. And obviously the other ones, Get Out, Jordan Peele. Wow.
Oh
what an introduction to that man.
Incredible.
Lady Bird, Greta Gerwig, first directional. Fucking brilliant film. Saoirse Ronan in that film. They're two. I can't get rid of them. Dunkirk's just a magical piece of cinema, I think, with all the sound effects and the way it's put together.
We both agree that Darkest Hour can go, though, right?
Darkest Hour can definitely go. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's the only thing it's got going for it is the Gary Oldman performance.
And even then, it's too much.
And he won it, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But as a film, the way it's put together, the way it looks, I don't think it's anything special.
Agreed.
And what was the other one?
I think we're...
The Post.
The Post is the other one we're taking out, which, again, I like it. Totally see why it's an Oscar nom, but Blade Runner 2049 is better. Should be in there. You're right.
Yeah.
And Paddington 2 should be in there too. Just to give, you know, just to give a family friendly movie an Oscar nod.
Paddington 2.
It doesn't happen very often, does it?
Has one of the best endings ever.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
When the aunt knocks on the door, it absolutely ruins me.
Yeah, completely.
In so many ways. It's such a lovely film. And it was so nice watching Wonka this year that also kind of didn't quite have that much, but it was nice that it had that magic.
My son is now obsessed with Wonka, and we've seen it literally five. We've seen it five times in 7 days, and I don't care. I still love it.
It's a good one. It's weird that musicals can do that. And Paddington 1 is such a good film, solid first film, because it shouldn't really work. And the visual effects are so good in Paddington, you'd kind of just forget that he's not there, and it's that.
And if we had Paddington in here too, that means that Sally Hawkins would have two movies in Oscar nominations.
Yeah, she had
as
a
well.
Good year. She had a good year. Do you think Paddington 3 is going to be as good as Paddington 2? Or are you worried that it hasn't got the Graham King magic?
That's my worry. Yeah. That is my worry. But I'm crossing my fingers. Let's see.
Okay, so we're now going to move on, not too far away, which I believe we'll just go into the next year of 2019. Okay?
Ooh, 2019. So can it live up to 2018 is the question.
Well,
no, I think is the answer.
This one, we're going to have to argue a bit, I think. And we're going to see what the nominations are. And I think it's going to be, we should have probably looked before we picked this. But our nomination for 2019,
yeah.
And please, people, stay with me here.
Yeah.
Is, it might actually be 2020. It's 2020.
Oh.
2020.
Okay. Okay. Right.
We're moving on 2 years.
This is going to make it slightly harder. So 2020, we think that our nomination for a sequel that should have been nominated for Best Picture in 2020, but wasn't, is Avengers Endgame.
Endgame. Hear us out, ladies and gentlemen.
I am torn on this one myself. So for those of you sat at home going, what? What are you talking about?
We are playing.
I know Infinity War is better, right?
It is. It's a better film.
It is. It is better. We're going with Endgame essentially because of the Lord of the Rings factor.
It's the Lord of the Rings theory, isn't it?
It crowns off a whole franchise, and that's why it deserved a nomination.
That's where that story ended. It was like, what is it at that point? 15 films? Who actually? I don't know. I should have done research.
Not saying it should win.
Not saying it should win.
But it should have got a nomination, and I know exactly which movie I would replace with it.
I think we're going to have the same film. Okay, do the nominations, Rich.
I will do the one I think is we should replace last. So the nominations 1917, Sam Mendes, 1917.
Great film.
We're keeping it. It's not going anywhere. Leaving it in there. Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Not my favourite.
Long film.
Quite boring.
Yeah.
Sort of understand why it's Hollywood. Hollywood loves a movie about Hollywood, right?
He does.
The Oscars love a movie about Hollywood.
They also love nominating films that Leonardo DiCaprio's in, but they never let him win.
True. That'd be close for me to coming out. You know, I don't think it deserves an Oscar nomination, to be honest, but there we are.
Writing, maybe.
Potentially, like, a writing nomination for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah. Little Women deserves to be there, can't come out, deserves its nomination. It's a great Christmas movie, according to my poster.
Do they have one Christmas meal or two Christmas meals?
I think it's one.
Is it?
Yeah.
It might have even been more, because it's over multiple
it's
years.
It's one right at the start, and I think that's it.
Oh, okay.
There's lots of winters, but I think that's... I can't remember.
Agreed.
It was a couple of months ago.
Greta Gerwig, great director.
Greta Gerwig, got to stay in there. So, Jojo Rabbit, Taika Waititi. It's got to stay, hasn't it? It's great.
It's good.
It's got to stay, if just for the scene of him touching his mum's hand. It's got to stay for that.
Yeah, I enjoy Jojo Rabbit. I think that's maybe one of Taika's best films. It's so weird and wonderful, and it takes such a serious subject and makes it bizarre and crazy, but it's still that bit what you just spoke about, when it gets to that bit, it still absolutely just punches you in the gut.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's really, I think it's really well handled. And I like laughs at Taika's version of, the kid's version of Hitler.
Yeah. Like I said, Oscars love a Hitler, love a bit of Nazis, you know, it's in there. Yeah. So next one's Marriage Story, Noah Baumbach movie.
Have you seen this?
I have seen it. I'm not sure it's one I want to watch. I won't be rushing to watch it again, but I can 100% see why it's here.
I went and saw this in the London Film Festival when it was out. I went and saw it like 7 o'clock in the morning or where it is for the press screening. And I watched that in the morning. And then I watched another film about divorce in the afternoon. It was a divorce heavy. Yeah, it had Josh O'Connor, Bill Nighy, a woman in it. But it was also quite hard. But Marriage Story is just two great actors like Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver just going at it. And when I was watching, I was like, well, they're just going to show this in acting classes. People are going to be ripping this off in like auditions and stuff, because it's really good in that kind of way. Like you said, it's not the easiest watches to get through, and you won't keep going back to it, but both of them very good solid film, good support by all the sport characters as well, if I remember rightly.
True. I'd never want to watch it again though.
No.
Talking of films I never want to watch again, The Irishman.
Again, this is what I was saying about Scorsese
gets a nomination,
Spielberg factor. Yeah.
Nah.
It's fine. And there's some good performances. Pacino's good in it. Stephen Graham is great for his part.
Yeah.
But nice to see Pesci back. Nice to see, you know, De Niro doing that. But it's far too long. It's not. I wouldn't say this is anywhere near Scorsese's best work.
No.
I mean, King of Comedy and stuff is better if we're going down stuff that should have been nominated or won or whatever. That'd be one maybe that would go not in the nomination list. What else is, keep going.
So next one, which would have been my winner if I got to choose, is Ford versus Ferrari, or as we like to call it, Le Mans 66.
I'm about to say what we're calling it here. Yes, it's a fantastic film. Matt Damon, stunning, Christian Bale, so good together.
It's up there in my top 10, definitely. I love it.
That's an audience-friendly film and an Oscar bait film wrapped up into just one brilliant film.
I cried like a baby at the end.
Genuinely
cried. Like, I couldn't stop myself.
What was it? Josh Lucas playing the bad guy at Ford. Oh,
yeah. So good.
It is a great looking film.
So good. Yeah. And then the eventual winner, which is Parasite.
Which you watched for the first time not too long ago?
I watched for the first time a few weeks ago. And I can see why people love it. I didn't love it. But, you know, absolutely. I can see why it won.
Finally, see why it's down the doors. There. Yeah.
And I think the one we should get rid of, which we both solidly agree on.
Yes, we do. We don't even have to talk about it.
Is Joker.
Ugh.
Because it's shit, isn't it? Like, it's just not good. It's a bad version of King of Comedy that we've mentioned already.
How do you think it ended up here? Was it the Joaquin Phoenix performance that...
I think the Oscars...
He is good in it.
The Oscars love a mental breakdown. So that gets you Oscar bait straight away. I think lots of stupid straight white men like this thing. And there's lots of stupid straight white men in the Oscar category, you know, judging panels or whatever they call them, the Academy.
Hmm.
I don't know.
It's a weird one, isn't it?
It is a really weird one for me. Like,
is it like we finally give what the people want? We've put a superhero film or whatever it is, a comic book movie in there.
We'll put an actual comic book movie in there then.
Like Avengers Endgame. Yeah, this amazing bit of story they've been telling for so many films that...
Yeah.
Like,
finished. If you want to celebrate comic book movies... Put an actual comic book movie in there.
It made
not this crap.
It was the highest grossing movie for a while until they re-released Avatar again.
Yeah.
But Endgame just did things that other films haven't done. I don't think we will see again, maybe ever, because DC are floundering with it and Marvel can't seem to get the trains back on the tracks. And it was just a special moment that they had all those storylines for so long. Finished then with Robert Downey Jr.'s click of his fingers, and it's an amazing film, and it's an amazing conclusion of that phase. Is that what we're calling the Marvel bits? Phase 1, 2, whatever it was.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. I'm lost already.
With so many characters, and they did such a good job of juggling them all. And yes, we both agree Infinity War is a better film. Well, partially because when Thor comes down and says, bring me Thanos, and moments like that.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that I just love a movie where the bad guys win.
Yeah. You know? But the bit when Captain America, you know, picks up the hammer.
Yeah, yeah.
In a screen where people lost their fucking minds.
Absolutely.
It's an incredible bit. When they...
And look, we know it's never going to happen. Portals. Oh, you know, man, we know the Academy's never going to put a fucking Marvel movie in the Oscars. Well, they did, though,
well,
didn't they?
Well, they did Black Panther. Yeah.
So maybe they felt like they'd done their nod to Marvel.
Maybe they did, yeah. Black Panther is a great film.
It is. But if Endgame should have been in these nominations.
Didn't Black Panther go up against... It lost out to The Green Book.
Yes, it did, which is hilarious because...
Yeah, it lost against... that year, sorry, I'm just going to go for it. That year, 2019. That year, you know,
when you said we were going to talk about 2019, I was like, oh, good, because this is wild.
It's got Vice, which I don't think is a very good film.
No.
I don't like it.
Agreed.
A Star is Born is good. It's good.
It's good, but it's a remake.
Roma is a brilliant piece of film, but I'll never watch it again.
I've never seen it.
It's brilliant, but you'll never watch it again. The Favourite, which is this brilliant odd film by Yorgos Lanthimos.
I didn't like it very much. I can see why it's nominated. I just didn't like it.
I think Olivia Colman's great. Bohemian Rhapsody, that can fuck off.
That can so fuck off.
Black Klansman, Spike Lee, great film.
Yeah,
that should have made one. Black Panther, and then the winner, Green Book, which...
Wild.
Is it an insulting piece of film for some people? It's just,
yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
I mean, everyone's good in it, don't get me wrong, but best film, absolutely no way.
No chance.
And then you had Black Panther, which was like this movement, this big moment in black cinema, this black superheroes.
I mean, you literally have got Black Klansman and Black Panther, and you pick fucking Green Book?
And then you got Green Book when a white man teaches a black man how to eat fried chicken, basically. And it's just... written by white men as well. It's just keep that. Anyway, we went to 2020 instead.
We didn't touch 2019. We went to 2020, but yeah, and only 8 as well, not 9 in 2019.
Really?
Yeah, 9 every other year. Only 8.
I mean, they keep adapting it every year, and we'll see what happens. No sequel nominations in 2024.
I think that's fair, to be honest. Like,
yeah, what would you have? Guardians of the Galaxy 3 at this point?
Well, Spider-Verse probably.
I was hoping with Spider-Verse again. Are they going to do the Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, I hope the third one's incredible and then that gets it.
It'd be brilliant. Like in 2022, a couple of years ago, we had Avatar, The Way of Water, and Top Gun Maverick, which bloody should have won. but no sequels this year. No. Hopefully, Avatar will go again, won't it?
Yeah,
Avatar 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Did you want to talk about some of your honourable mentions. Terms of ones that were on your list that we didn't talk about?
Well, I've got loads. Shall I just go Aliens in 1987?
Yeah.
Probably should have won, but Rich has kept shouting at me, sci-fi films don't get nominated, and he's quite right.
But we picked two. We picked two sci-fi films.
That's true, but we picked later on ones that...
We picked Empire, which was earlier.
Well, that fucking should have done. Terminator 2...
I don't agree. I think Terminator 2 is a great sequel. I don't think it's an Oscar nomination in 92, did we say?
92, yeah.
1992. What would you take out in 92, though? That's the thing. Like, the nominations in 92 were, Bugsy, I suppose you could take out.
You're making it easy when you've just taken out ones you would take out.
Yeah. I don't know. Bugsy's pretty... But, yeah.
This was the first year, right? They had an animated film, best film.
And you can't take that out. Beauty and the Beast out.
After this, they actually made a category for best animated movie.
Yeah.
So that's why we haven't mentioned, like, Toy Story 2.
Yeah. You can't take Beauty and the Beast out because... It's changed the world, essentially. It changed the Oscars.
And I don't think anything will beat Silence of the Lambs that year. Well, maybe Terminator 2 for me, but... I would leave it in there.
You can't take JFK out either.
It's a long film. I've never
seen it.
Prince of Tides, though.
That's a very Oscar-y movie. I don't think you can take that out either.
My other one, you can just tell me, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade from 1990, also because of the Lord of the Rings rule, which came 20 years later or whatever it was.
It
was never going to win, but I liked the idea.
But also, it wasn't the last one. Plus, what would it replace? So you've got Field of Dreams, Dead Poets Society, Born on the 4th of July, My Left Foot, and then Driving Miss Daisy, which won. Again, I'm not 100% sure Driving Miss Daisy
should be in
there. I
would say Driving Miss Daisy.
But that's the one that won, for fuck's sake.
Okay. How about Fast Five in 2012, Rich?
Fast Five. I think that's pushing it, honestly. I mean, what would you take out in 2012? Probably Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, definitely Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. I would take The Tree of Life out, to be honest, because that is a horrible piece of film.
Do you know what? I've never seen it,
I don't know. It gave me a headache and it made me angry.
I mean, it scores incredibly low on IMDb.
It's what's his face? The director.
I don't know, because I've never seen it. So I'm not sure who the director is. Terrence Malick.
That's it. And his films are all very, very arty and don't make a lick of sense to me.
Oh, it's Brad Pitt and Jessica Chastain, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's dinosaurs in there and everything. You would have picked Moneyball in that year, though.
Oh, God, yeah, of course I would, because Moneyball's the best movie ever made, ever.
You know, my other options were Logan from 2017, which didn't even get at that point. I think Hugh Jackman should have been at least nominated for an Oscar, and he wasn't.
What would you take out in 2017?
Hang on, let me get there and I'll tell you.
You got... Oh, yeah! Oh, 2017 was the controversial year, wasn't it?
Saying that, they're all really good films in 2017. Like, I think Moonlight is a great film, Arrival is a great film. Fences, I thought everyone was really good in, Denzel Washington, Viola Davis. Yeah. They did, their performance in that was incredible.
Manchester by the Sea, another great movie that I never want to watch again. Yeah.
Lion, I cried like a baby at the end.
I haven't seen Lion, but I've heard it's very good.
It broke me. La La Land, I really love. Hidden Figures is a really good film, really strong performances. Hell or High Water is a film that not enough people have watched.
I've not seen that either.
Oh, mate, you should watch that. Chris Pine and Ben Foster and Jeff Bridges are in it. It's so good. Modern day Western. Hacksaw Ridge is
love
good.
Hacksaw Ridge. Brutal. I think it's great.
Would be the one I would take out.
Really? I would take out La La Land because I actually think it's quite bad.
Oh, God. Okay. and then from 1983, Rich, Wrath of Khan.
Star Trek Wrath of Khan. Wow, okay. I agree. It's a great sequel. Is it Oscar worthy? And what would you take out in 83? Oh, mate. There's some strong movies in 83.
I wouldn't get rid of E.T., obviously. And Gandhi's good.
E.T., Gandhi, The Verdict is good.
I haven't seen Verdi. I know what Tootsie is, but I've never seen it.
I've seen Tootsie. That's probably the one I'd take out. But it's so rare for a comedy to be in there.
Oh, yeah. So you can't take that out.
I'd want to keep it. The Verdict is a really good movie. You can't take that out. Like that's so
you're
Paul,
saying
that's Paul
I'm wrong,
Newman.
Fine, I'm wrong that year. Fine, okay, cool.
But then I don't know Missing. I've never seen Missing.
I'm quite happy with the five we picked, though. So, and I'd love to hear what other people think. The rules, listeners, you guys, I'm going to be trying to put you there, you in the corner. the rules are they can't be nominated, and it's only for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Okay, and it has to be a sequel. So let us know what you would have done and the year, if you can.
And what you would have replaced.
And we'll read them out, hopefully, in the end of month roundup.
If you want to know what those are, then you're going to have to get on social media and get in touch with us. We're on all the social medias. We're at Unequal Sequel on all the things. I know Blue Sky's one's weird, but it's unequalsequel.bluesky.social or whatever it's called. You know, we're on there. We're on Blue Sky. We're on X. We're on Threads. We're on Instagram. We're on Letterboxd. We're on TikTok. Whatever the new thing is, we're on it. We're there. Just search us. We're even on YouTube, for God's sake. No, you can't see our ugly mugs. It's just the podcast, but on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can also get in touch if you don't do social medias. Which is fine and probably very sensible. You can get in touch with us on the email. We are unequalsequel@hotmail.com. Get in touch with us there. Tell us what you thought. Whilst you're around, give us a little review. 5 stars. You know, tap us out a little review. Let us know what you thought of the podcast. It really does help other people find us. We would be incredibly grateful. Please tell your friends to come and listen. We would love that. We do have some new interview episodes coming very soon. If you are a big fan of us, then get yourself onto anotherslice.com/unequalsequel, where for just $2.99 a month, you can join our subscription service. And if you do join, you may hear us lose our actual minds as we recorded ourselves live watching Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Yes. The first time we're in the room together.
It's a podcast event.
Of the year.
Well, maybe of the decade. it's a thing. We got our friend Rich involved because essentially he looks like a vampire. So we brought him in. He twinkles in the daylight and stuff, you know. So yeah, he came along for the ride, and yeah, we recorded ourselves watching the movie. We're going to cut out all the quiet bits and stuff, so it's not, you don't have to listen for 2 hours.
No,
but you will hear my shrieking reactions at the baby's disgusting face
and the ending.
And the, oh my God, the ending.
Don't spoil it. Yes, so that's happening midweek. Next week on the 14th, they'll be out. And on the 16th, we are releasing an episode of our Twilight ranking.
Yes. So our next extra episode will be us ranking the Twilight saga.
From worst to worst.
So tune in for that. From worst to even more worst.
Anyway, got anything else to say? Have I skipped in again?
No, I think we're done.
Brilliant. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You are all great. New interview episodes are coming. We are annoying people as we speak. And some people are saying, yes, we might do that. And then I have to annoy them a little bit more. Fingers crossed everything comes out. I've got nothing else to say. It's a bye-bye from me, and it's a bye-bye from him.
Bye!
See you next week. Sequel to this week. Have a good one. Bye-bye. What do you think? Do you think we should do, like, the BAFTAs nominations?
No. I mean, let's see how this episode does, but I'm feeling no.
I thought, for if we're really desperate, we should just go through best sequels begin with letter A, and then we can go all the way through. Aliens.
Done. B, Back to the Future Part 2. Done. C, Not Cars 2.